John chapter number 1, verses 1 through 4. The mind of God. Perhaps one of the most difficult things to do, one of the most difficult challenges that we have as human beings, is to understand the mind of someone. I mean, just think about it for a second. You could be raised in the same household. You can live in the same house. Share the same pillow. Share the same parents with someone. And you're clueless as to what they're thinking. All too often we find out who people really are in a time where we really can't afford for that person to be anything other than what we had already anticipated that person being. I wonder if you've ever been in a relationship and you thought that you knew the person that you were in a relationship with. And then along came a storm in life. And you discovered that you didn't know that person at all.
Amen.
If you're not careful, you'll begin to assume their foolishness, their responsibility. You'll begin to think that something must be wrong with you. Sometimes people just show themselves at different stages. The Bible declares that God deals with every man according to the measurement of their faith. So just because you see someone flowing in a particular way, that doesn't mean that you know where their faith is. See, faith can fool you, because sometimes if you're not careful, you're looking at someone and they begin to go through something. And while you think that person is being arrogant, or that person is being cocky, that person has a peace of God, and it's through their faith that they're riding through the storm. I know if you would have been going through the same thing, you would have lost your mind, so you're wondering why your neighbor is still so calm in the storm. It's something about the peace of God that really surpasses all understanding.
Thank you, Lord.
And so while I'm going through something, the pressure is great, but I'm not acting like the pressure that is on me. I'm acting like the person, the spirit that I am in Christ. See, that's why you have to know how to shift out of the natural into the supernatural. Because your natural abilities will only take you so far in life. And so where your natural abilities cannot take you, your supernatural, your spirit man, allows you to walk on the waters of troubles, the waters of past due bills, the waters of a relationship on the rock, the waters of addictions. Your faith allows you to walk in places that you wouldn't naturally be able to stand.
Yeah, right now.
And so while everybody's looking at you wondering how you're able to do it, and the truth of the matter is you don't even know how you're doing it, because you lost yourself long time ago. See, that's when God set us up. God often will set us up. When God set us up, He'll push us out in a place and He says, now stand on your ability. Stand on your resume. Stand on your good health. Stand on your relationship. And what we discover is that none of that stuff will hold us. The only thing that will hold us is the Word of God. So John, this Saint John, who is the youngest of the disciples, he introduced his best friend Jesus. He comes into chapter 1 and he says, now, in the beginning. Now, before anything was, Before anybody thought of anything, I need you to get this one thing in the beginning. See, what I'm telling you is that this person that John is about to introduce us to, he was here in the beginning. I don't know about you, but I didn't come from a monkey. God created me. I don't know about you, but ain't no tag pole created me. God spoke a word and said, I want a man to come. And that's where we all came. That doesn't line up with your science book, but that's okay, because when you start dealing with God and you try to put a science through what God is doing, you can't understand God, because your check is not supposed to pay your bills. Ain't no science to that. When you're down and out and the doctor says you're about to die, but all of a sudden you get up because by his strength you are healed, there's no science to that. John says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, I found that interesting that he says, in the beginning was. Well, if God is Alpha and Omega, and Jesus is also God, which makes him Alpha and Omega, which means the beginning and the end, how can you say was? Isn't he still is? Because he told Moses, he says, I am that I am. Now, why, John, would you say that in the beginning was the Word? See, what John is communicating to you and I today is that he's saying that Jesus was, because everything that he created, it is still. Listen, I know they may not like you, but they still can't take your blessing. I know they may want to stop you, but they still can't take what God, because when God sealed the thing, he says it was, I put my stamp on it, and no John says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, notice he says was the Word. I found it strange and I struggled, because he says, he didn't say in the beginning Jesus was with God. He didn't say none of that. He didn't say in the beginning there was a Christ. He didn't say that. He didn't say in the beginning there was a person named Emmanuel. He said none of that. He just said in the beginning was a Word. The word "word" means, it's from logos. It's where we get language from. It's a thought. You get it?
Yeah.
So he's saying in the beginning, God just thought of something.
All right.
Now, when God thought of something, a thought is one's intentions or feelings of that which they want to manifest. So the Bible is declaring that God thought of something, and John says in the beginning was the Word. In essence, John is saying what God is thinking, Jesus will manifest. That's why you pray in the name of Jesus. You thought somebody was trying to teach you how to pray. No, baby. What somebody was trying to do is to give you the power in your prayer. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're saying, God, what is your will? God, what is your mind in this thing? The mind of God can only be manifested through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, in order for you to get to him, you got to come from me. Now, that's a bold statement. That's a cocky statement, unless you really know who you are. And see, Jesus knows who he is, because John is telling us that in the beginning was the Word. So, in essence, before anything got started, God thought of something. He looked within himself to a third part of the Trinity, and he says, make it happen.
All right.
You get that?
Yeah.
Make it happen. Now the issue with Jesus is that as long as Jesus was on the earth, he could only be one place.
My God,
one time.
At one time.
Right.
I'm going somewhere. So in order to get a lot of little Jesus followers around, you have to kill the seed. Once the seed is dead and planted for 3 days, then you can come up with all powers in your hand. The ability to do what Jesus can do, because now you're carrying his name. Because you're property of, because you got the power of, because you got the authority of, because you have the dynamis, the power to do what God is calling you. John says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, so what he's saying to you now is that in the beginning, all we had was God looking down on the earth and saying, this is what I'm thinking. Now, why would God look down on the earth if God is in heaven? Now, allow me to go back and to share with you something that happened. And it messed all us up. And that is, Satan was in heaven with God. Now, while Satan was in heaven with God, he got cute and start thinking that he was God. Listen, let me give you a statement this morning. Watch this. You can never be best friends with who wants your stuff. Do you get that? Now you understand why your friendship with Lisa and with Bob and with John doesn't work. You with something, then they want your stuff. So they're not praying for you, they're not shouting with you, they're looking at how they can get your stuff. Be careful who you got around you. Now imagine, here's God in heaven. God in heaven. The heaven that he created, God in heaven. Lucifer that he created, God in heaven, and here's Lucifer want to be like God. See, so he says, well, if you have the angels, let me get my crew. And so he convinced angels to stop following God and to follow him. You see that? And you wonder why your partner is not your partner anymore. You wonder why your used to be best friends is not best friends with your enemies. See, you get it now. See, you have to be careful about the people that you allow in your circle. Because if the wrong folk come in your circle, the only thing they can do is to stab you. See, I'm watching my enemies over there. I see you over there, dog. I know you don't like me over there, dog. But it's the one that I turn my back to. That's the one that gets you. And I wish this morning that I wasn't oftentimes talking about the person that is in your own house. The person that is sitting in the church with you. The person that says, I got you. We down like four flat tires. And the person who says, I'm your friend to the end until something happened. And then God messed around and allowed that something to happen. And you found yourself standing alone. Had no one and nothing. Isn't it something about problems? Isn't it something about trouble? It seems like when problems and trouble come, your money leaves. Isn't it something about problems and trouble? It seems when they come, everything is gone. Isn't it something about fake folk in your life that when you need them the most, they'll bounce up out? listen.
Amen.
He says, now, God is in heaven, and Satan says, I'm going to do my own thing. And so he goes out, he does his own thing, convinced angels to follow him. And now, I don't know if he was kicked out of heaven, or he was pushed out, or thrown out. I don't know how he got out. All I know is he ended up here. Amen to that, right? The problem with that is that he ended up here, and I'm born here, and I'm living here with him today. That's my problem. God, what do you want me to do on earth when I know that the principle of this air, Satan, is right here? What do you want me to do with him? If you didn't like him, you kicked him out of heaven, or you threw him out. What you want me to do with him?
That's right. Keep money up.
All I have. I can't rest on my bank account. I can't rest on my relationship. Can't rest on investments. But all I have is a word. Just the word.
That's right.
See, when you understand that the word is your weapon.
That's right.
You say, that's all I need. See, when everything else fails, you say, I still got a word. You may take everything, but I still got a word. And as long as you got a word, you got the power to make something come. As long as you can speak to the devil, you can make something happen. As long as you still got praise, you can make a way out of no way. As long as you worship the Lord, he'll restore in a relationship. He'll turn everything around. As long as you got a word. See, it's something about the word that creates life.
The word.
So John says, he is the life. See, when we understand that Jesus is life to you and I, then we understand that he is the reason that we live, we move, we breathe, because he allows it to be that way. And you can't take me out until he says, it's my time. I may have back problems, but that ain't the end of me. Watch God make a miracle even out of this. I may have bankruptcy problems, but that ain't the end of it. Watch God make something happen in my life, because he's setting the stage. I'm like a little puppet, and he's just pulling the string. So he'll allow this one to walk out and this one to walk in. He turns me this way, because he's saying, now all things gonna work together, but you gotta work the word in order for it to work for you. You got to work the word. When you learn to work the word, you learn that the word works. I don't care how bad your situation is, the word works. I don't care how dim it looks, the word works. I don't care how dark it is, the word works. I don't care if it seems hopeless, the word works. Because in the beginning was the word.
The word.
Notice John didn't dress it up and say, in the beginning, God had all this stuff. He said nothing about the stuff. He went straight to the word. In other words, when you understand that your Bible is more than a book. You don't hear me. When you understand your Bible is more than a book, then you understand that the words that is in this book, this is the Spirit of God. And when I'm going through something, God talk to me. What you got to say to me? I told you in the beginning was the word. And see, we have to learn how, when we're going through something, don't call your name. Somebody wrote a song, said, don't ask my name. Come to me. See, because in me, there's a word, there's a spirit that is greater in me than he, me, that is in the word. So I don't need your advice. I just need for God to talk to me. God, tell me how to get out of this thing. Show me which way to go. Order my steps. Make my enemy my footstool. Put a hedge of protection around me. Tell me no weapon that is found against me shall prosper. Tell me you created me to be the head and not the tail. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, every day you won't walk in and be soothed and sunshine. Every day you're going to go through something. But weeping may endure. God allowed Jesus to come to this earth. Jesus stepped foot in Satan's territory. Now, you're a bad man when you go to somebody else's house to fight. You bad, crazy, or dead. You don't go to other people's house. Jesus says, because I'm the Word, I have no boundaries. I'm not afraid of your house. I'll come to your house. I'll turn your house upside down. In your house. See, understand, God sent mankind to redeem you and I. But Moses couldn't do it. Moses has some issues. Like me and you. Abraham was cool. But Abraham had some issues. Like you and David. Now, David was after God's own heart.
But he had some issues.
But David had some issues. Like Daniel was a good man. But Daniel had some issues.
Like you and I.
Jeremiah used to weep and cry all the time, a great prophet. Felt God, but Jeremiah had some issues. John the Baptist came. Good man. Baptized Jesus. But John the Baptist had some issues. God says, I'll step down, wrap myself in a body, call me Emmanuel, because I have no issues. So he came.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
For you and I.
Thank you, Jesus.
And see, you have to understand really the story of the cross. Is that when Jesus, watch this. When Jesus, it wasn't like they killed Jesus and he just said, oh, I can't breathe anymore. The Bible declares he gave up. Now, whatever I give up, I still own it. I can go back and get it. Because it's mine. I'm talking to somebody who gave up your house. I'm talking to somebody, you gave up your car. I'm talking to somebody, you gave up your child. I'm talking to somebody, you gave up. I'm talking to you. I want you to go back and get yourself. Because you still own yourself. I'll give up the ghost. But he says, In 3 days, you tear this up. He says, in 3 days, I'm building it back up again. I came this morning to tell somebody you're going to build up your finances again. I came to tell somebody you're going to build up your relationship again. I came to tell somebody you're going to build up your relationship with your child. I came to tell somebody you're going to build up your bank account again. I came to tell somebody you're going to build up your health again. I came to tell somebody you're going to build up. Now watch this. I know we think. Because we've been taught when you die, then all is over. Baby, that's just the beginning of a real party. The party don't start till Jesus get in the house. That's when the real party starts. Watch this, according to Colossians chapter number 2, verses 4 through 6. Watch this. The Bible declares that when Jesus died, he was in the grave. He went through the grave. Now, what kind of man are you that you die, you wake up in death, and then go to hell and release everybody that is in captivity in hell? You walk out of hell, and here come Moses and Abraham and Jeremiah following you. So all of the New Testament saints say, where's all those Old Testament going? They going See, for 3 days he was tearing Satan's head up in hell.
Yes, he was.
The Bible says he goes to hell and he blotted out all of the transgression. Just in case you don't know what blotted out mean that he took my black and sins and he put his red blood on it and I came out white as snow. See, that's what he did for you and I. See, when Jesus came to this earth, what Jesus became was the mantle of God. Now, what is a mantle? A mantle is a sleeveless cloak. Much like a vest that I have, but in particular right here, baby, that is. So a cloak. It's like this. Now, this is perfect. Notice that she don't have sleeves. You see that? So what God is saying is that with the angel, their only job was just to stand there and just worship.
Right, that's right.
Just worship. Worship. I want you to don't think about nothing. Just worship. Just worship. And so because Jesus came with the mantle of God, God says, now your children don't even need no sleeves. Just keep worshiping me. He says, my arms will fight your battle. My arms will guide you. My arms will open doors. My arms will close doors. My arms will silence your critics. My arms will shut up your hate. My arms will put money in your trap. My arms will fix your health. My arms will restore your relationship. All I need you to do is just be the master. See, a mantle is something just carries something else. It doesn't fit, it just carries. And see, and that's what Jesus came for, is just to not only carry the word of God, but to be the word of God. You get that? So here's Jesus on earth, and he is the word of God. You got to come at that. And he is the word of God. See, this is why. Now, this is going to make sense to you. Keep on walking. So the woman that had the issue of blood, he said, what? Who touched me? See, the question of who touched me, it wasn't really a question. It was a declaration. It sounded like a question, but it was a declaration. Woman, who touched you? I dare you to open your mouth and release a word to your sickness. If you speak to your issue of blood, I'll heal you. All you gotta do is release a word on it. All you gotta do is release a word on it. See, that's what he was saying to her. Who touched me? Declare it in the name of Jesus. You going through something, you better talk to it. Release the word on it. You going through it, you better say something. You keep going. Just don't wait. I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus. I want healing. I want restoration. I want salvation. I want revelation in the name of Jesus. Watch this. John writes in verse number 4. He says, in him was life. Now, as I said, was because your debt is already paid for.
Amen.
Let me talk to some Holy Ghost folk here. And you think you need to be baptized every first Sunday. If that's the case, we all need to live in the water. See, what he's saying is that once you accept him as your personal Savior, you confess with your mouth.
That's right.
He says, you're going to fall short.
That's right.
When you fall short, Satan knocks at your door. You remember what you did yesterday? You remember what you were thinking this morning on your way to church? You remember when everybody were praising and you were looking cockeyed at the person next to you? He says, but I still in love with you. Watch this. When we connect to God's word, we connect to God's will. First Thessalonians 4:3 says this. Watch this. Because we always say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. He wrote it out.
Yes, amen.
1 Thessalonians 4:3. Listen to what he says. He says, for this is the will of God.
Uh-huh.
Now, I understand that. I'm from the country. Because he said that. I don't have to guess anymore. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Watch this. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification. So when you mess up, he says, I got a sanctification plan already in place. I knew you were going to mess up. That's why I had to send Jesus. He says, even your sanctification. Check this out. That you should abstain from fornication.
All right.
But that ain't me, because I don't cheat around. That ain't me, because I don't have those type of thoughts. That ain't me, because I'm just pure and holy and waiting on Mr. Right and Miss Right. That ain't me. And the truth of the matter, when he talks about fornication, he's not talking about something as shadow as sex. He's talking about, are you being real with me? How is your relationship with him? Don't worry about your spouse. Are you cheating on God? Listen, are you in a relationship with someone else, or worse, with something else? Are you worshiping your bank account?
All right now.
Your house, your car, your accomplishments. Fornication. Same difference. White lie, black lie, just lie. Same difference. See, you thought you were okay as long as we're talking about sex. But when we begin to talk about a relationship with God, we understand all of us fall short. But the good news is that God says, I'm even married to the backslide. I love the Lord because the Lord loves me. He says, even when I backslide, he says, and I'm still in love with you. And when we know that God is still in love with us, it makes us want to love him that much more. See, when we understand that God is in love with us, now we understand grace. Because grace says, how can you love me like that and I keep treating you
like that?
No. If you love me that much, I gotta love you back. I gotta love you back. But ladies, listen in closing. You ever met a guy when you first met him, you really didn't like him? But he was so good to you, he started looking good. And this so shallow stuff. If you become somebody is shaped like this and look like that, baby, in 2 years, all that stuff just gone. Stuff just hanging everywhere. Just gone. What do you have there? When he was a big baller and a shot caller and making all the money, oh, you loved him because he looked real good. Now that he's old and things are not the way that they used to be, and now you make more than him, are you trying to leave it?
What's his name?
He's been good to you. He's been there for you, and he's provided for you and for the family. And now you trying to leave. Why not? To death?
Do
us part. I'm still in love with you. I'm still trying to provide. I may not look like I'm able to do a lot, but the God that is inside of me, he still lives. He still moves. And even if I can't go to work every day, baby, you got to understand, I still got some needs. I still got a secret closet. I still know how to pray. I'm still covering this family. I'm still asking God, make a way out of no way. I'm still saying, God, what is your will for this house? I'm still saying, ask for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. We may not have what we used to have, but thank God we still got you. What am I talking to this morning? Hold on to God.
Yes.
Hold on to God.
Yes.
Watch this. Watch this. Last piece.
Yes, Lord.
I used to wonder why and how God would use Old Testament men who had not a wife, but wives and concubines.
That's right.
And they all knew one another.
Yes. And they were men.
Now, I'm not saying to nobody, go get you wives and concubines. That's not what I'm saying. But stay with me now. Remember, the will of God is that we abstain from fornication. God looked at Old Testament men, prophets. He saw the mess that they were in.
All right.
But he looked beyond their fault. And the need was to pull off God's program. See, don't you think for a moment it's because you're so good God is using you.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You're in the plan of God.
That's right.
And because you're in the plan of God, always expect man to try to block your blessing. Whenever you line up with God and God begin to bless you, always expect a fool to walk by and tell you what you can't do, what you can't have, and what God can't do. It's supposed to happen that way. And don't you get mad with folk no more because they say that can't happen. You better begin to rejoice every time somebody tell you what your God can do, because you go home knowing that he can do it. I'm living in his blessing. I see the hand of God in my life. And so give God praise, because in spite of, you're walking in an overflow. You're walking in an overflow. You're walking in an overflow. You're being blessed in spite of the economy. You're being blessed in spite of the situation. You're being blessed in spite of the circumstances. That's what it means to walk in overflow.
Amen.
When you begin to walk in overflow,
hallelujah,
you can't even mess up your blessing. You can't even mess it up. So Satan comes in here and he tells you that you're not worthy. True, but it's not about me.
That's right.
I told you earlier, it was about the sanctification.
Yes. Yes.
It's about His righteousness.
Yes.
His justification.
Yes.
It's not about you.
Yes.
Remember, you wearing the cloak, the mantle of God.
Yes.
So here you are. God has took you. And He says, I'm going to live inside of you. I know you want to go right, but God is saying, no, go left. Because a car accident was on the right. I didn't tell you to go left. I know you want to step out with Him, but God is saying, no, come back, stay at home. I know you want to turn around and quit, but God is saying, a charge to keep you half and a God to glorify. You got to run your race. The mind of God will always be manifested through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The head of the church.
Amen.
The head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to realize who we really are.
That's right.
Amen.
When you know who you are,
mm-hmm.
I can care less what you say.
Amen.
Ain't none of that going to address SunTrust Mortgage for me. Ain't none of that is going to address Georgia Power for me. So I don't care what you think. God, what you say about it. What you say. What does the Word say? Now I know I can stand and trust the Word. Because John says in the beginning,
was
the Word. And if I'm walking in the Word, that means I'm with God. Because the Word was God. You get it?
Ooh, my God.
God is saying your salvation is sin.
Yes.
I want to speak to that person here this morning, and you're not sure about your salvation. We want to symbolically open the doors of the church to you and say, if you never received Christ as your personal Savior,
amen.
Or if you have and you backslid into the world, come home. Come home. Come home this morning. If you've been coming here and you need a church home, come home. Come home. God got a work for you to do. Come home. Come today. While the blood is running warm in your vein, come today. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Come. I wouldn't be concerned what the person to my left or to my right thought about me taking a step of faith. I wouldn't let nothing stop me from walking to Jesus. I wouldn't let nothing stop me from moving to Him this morning. Move, if that's you this morning. If you stand in need, I would move. He's not withholding. Everything that He has, He says through Jesus Christ, when you pray in the name of Jesus, He says, I'll give it all to you. I just want you to be my child. This morning.